Coming up on today's BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast, riding and exploring the epic backcountry of Tasmania. Take a listen. Over the years, I've had the privilege of riding BMW motorcycles all over the world. And the one thing I've come away with is that the only thing more extraordinary than the ride are the people you meet along the way. These are their stories. My name is Sean Thomas, and this is BMW Motorrad's Ride and Talk.
I'm riding a 2012 GSA. Well, I've always been a fan of the dirt bikes growing up and stuff like that, and then always loved camping and bush. And it was more the fellowship. The people I've met through motorbikes have been now become lifelong friends. Mm. And that's what brought me into the adventure riding.
Part of the magic of motorcycle riding is meeting ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Their stories inspire us to go to new places and take on adventures that we may not have otherwise considered. Recently, one of our podcast listeners suggested that my producer, Louise Powers, and I interview Jason Gale, a motorcycle enthusiast who lives, rides, and organizes riding groups in his home country of Tasmania. This is a very special interview for me, not just because Tasmania is on my bucket list of places to explore. It's also an opportunity to share with you, our listeners, that in addition to people who work and are celebrities in the motorcycle industry, the Ride and Talk podcast is also about hearing from those of you who have a passion for motorcycles and want to share that passion for the lifestyle we all love. So Jason, hey, thanks very much, man. I know it's early for you. I hope you've had plenty of coffee.
Yes, had plenty of coffee this morning. It's 9 a.m., so it's not that early for us. I normally go to work at 5. Oh.
What do you do exactly?
Pilot launch master.
Oh.
Take pilots out to the ships and on the pilot boat.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Okay. I've been thinking about this for a while because Tasmania, like to us in the USA, like Tasmania is like the ultimate in adventure riding place. Just the name invokes like – it's intense and it's dangerous and it's hardcore. Like, am I hitting the mark at all with any of that?
100%. There's all levels of adventure riding in Tasmania. You can do the mediocre stuff, or there's so much hardcore stuff out there if you want to go that way. Yeah. The advantage of Tasmania is that I can be home that night.
Wow.
If I really wanted to be.
How big is it, Tasmania, in total?
Not entirely sure. It takes me about 3 hours to go from northwest coast. It's not that big in distance, straight line, but takes a long time to go places because the roads are so windy and it seems to be sections off by mountain ranges and stuff like that. So I divide Tasmania basically into three areas, east coast, middle, and then the west coast, because you're divided by the mountain ranges.
I see. Now, have you ridden in any other parts of the world?
No, I've ridden did the Victorian High Country last February, March. Mm-hmm. I was camped and fished for a month.
Aha.
Off the bike. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in my element, if you know what I mean. Just ride one day, fly fish the next, ride one day, fly fish the next. Some days you'd ride 60 kilometers and go to the next river, but it was fantastic.
So tell me about a typical day of adventure riding in Tasmania.
If we just do a day ride, for us at the moment, we'll just say we'll pick a destination for lunch or something like that, and then we'll sit down and roughly work out a track in our heads because we know it that well now that we just, we'll go down through Liffey, Cressy, down through Ross and end up at Buckland for lunch and head down through. And you pick up all the gravel roads and bits and pieces in between. We make it up as we go along. Then we'll have lunch and decide how we're going to go home.
Now I'm picturing, when I picture Tasmania, I picture, you know, you leave your place and, you know, you disappear into the backcountry. And in 5 minutes, you're in absolutely the middle of nowhere. You've completely left civilization and there's nothing before you except for some little rickety trail road and going further into nowhere. Am I hitting the mark at all or is it different than that?
Getting close, it takes doesn't take long, half an hour or so to get out into the backcountry roads like farmland and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take long to get into the forestry sections to pick up some nice gravel to skip between the main roads, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Yeah. And Tell us a little bit about the bike that you're riding for this.
I'm riding a 2012 GSA.
So 1200 GSA?
1200 GSA, yeah.
And how did you get into adventure riding to begin with? Did you start with a bike that big?
I started with a 2011 Tiger 800 that I bought brand new, and had no intention of riding off road on it. Had road tires on it and just use it as a commuter.
Yeah.
Had 700 Ks on it and got talked into going on an adventure ride. Hooked.
Yeah.
Absolutely hooked.
What was it about it that really hooked you?
Well, I've always been a fan of the dirt bikes growing up and stuff like that. And then I've always loved camping and bush and stuff like that.
Sure.
And it was more the fellowship. The people I've met through motorbikes have been now become lifelong friends. Yeah. And the group in Tasmania, Adventure Riders Group, are fantastic blokes. You can pick up and go on a ride, and it's just great.
Yeah.
And that's what brought me into the adventure riding.
Sure. Now, did you ride any other motorcycles before you got your Tiger?
I've had quite a few. Suzuki DR600, mm-hmm. the old Kickstart DR650. Then went to road bike. I had a YZF 1000 for a little while. That one scared me a bit, so that's when I bought the Tiger. But now it's all about the riding, relaxing.
Sure.
With the big girl, yeah.
Now, of course, the GS is Geländestraße, which means half of that is street riding. Is there good street riding there too?
Well, one of our mottos in our little group is sweet gravel and sweet tar.
Okay. Tell me about that.
Well, we like to mix our rides up with we find some really nice gravel roads. And we always like to finish off with a nice bit of sweet tar coming home, like nice twisties and ride back there, and just get you relaxed and out of the off-road mode and cruising home.
Sure.
Yeah, we always find to enjoy just as much on the tar as we do on the gravel. And that's the advantage of the BMW GSA. Like, it just soaks up the tar as well as the good gravel roads.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what kind of wildlife are you running into when you're getting out to the backcountry?
Wallabies, possums, wombats. Yeah, quite a few wallabies on the bikes. You'll be very careful with those. Had them run between your wheels and knock your feet off your pegs.
Wow.
And I see a lot of snakes in summertime. Mm-hmm. And the biggest threat to me, I've found, is bird life.
Really?
Bird life. Yeah, kookaburras.
Now, what is a kookaburra? I've never heard of this before.
You'll have to Google that one. They're
Do they laugh at you while you're riding? Kookaburras are known for their laughter, Sean.
So they laughter, that's it? Yeah, yeah. There's the old Australian saying, the kookaburra sits in the old gum tree. But yeah, but they're carnivores. They eat meat, so they're always swooping down for prey.
Wow. Yeah. Now, it sounds like since your majority of your riding has happened in Tasmania, do you have an idea of what you think riding would be like in other parts of the world? I'm going to use the U.S. for an example, because, of course, that's where I'm from.
With the way the internet is these days, I've watched lots and lots and lots of videos of the U.S. and Europe. My biggest dream is to ride across America.
Wow.
On an adventure bike.
Nice.
I'd love to do that. Yeah. The first one I'd like to do is do a lap of Australia. I started riding to Australia recently, so I want to get around I call Australia the mainland, and we're Tasmania.
Yeah.
But I really love to ride across America. The culture and that's what I want to look at.
Yeah.
The different people, the diverse lands and deserts and stuff in America. I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Well, as a native of the USA, I'm telling you, you're absolutely welcome. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
So, you showed me this map that you put together that sort of represented some of the places that you've been in Tasmania, and it is very brightly colored with all of the different places you've been, which is substantial. And I wonder, what is your process for coming up with a route, and how do you navigate those routes?
Initially, there's a lot of time spent on, I use a mapping program called Memory Maps, and Google and just follow roads. I used to spend hours and hours and hours on Google Maps following roads and see where they come out, and planning and plan the route out to the nth degree. But these days it's all off the cuff, because we've learnt Tasmania so well that we just plan a ride and we just talk on the phone. And I'm going for a ride tomorrow, and we talking to a mate last night, and we said, oh, we'll go out through such and such, out through this way and over that way. I said, oh, how about we go around this way? We haven't been that way for a while. And yeah, and that's how it goes.
Sure.
But we don't sort of plan the route directly these days. We ride an area.
Sure.
So no, it's good fun. I thoroughly enjoy planning routes and that sort of adventure riding and getting to know the area. I've done quite a few guided rides or toured led rides. Yep. Over the top of my time as well, with the local Tasmania Adventure Riders Hub on Facebook.
Sure.
That's one of the group that I manage or help manage. And that's a good group, and such a diverse group of riders. Big bike rides, small bike rides, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I really enjoy that side of it. Yep.
So when you're out there with this group in the backcountry, what kind of equipment are you bringing with you for a typical day or weekend of riding?
A day ride, generally just a first aid kit, tyre repair, and a few minor tools. It gets by. Thermos of coffee and a bit of lunch if you're going away from shops. But,
yeah.
For a overnighter, which is pretty typical, I just take my bushwalking gear I use basically for or hiking gear, and put all my panniers on, tent, and away I go. Aren't going to be self-sufficient.
Now, when you mentioned wildlife, because you rattled off the names of a lot of things that I've never heard of, or we definitely don't have in the U.S. And I wonder, what kind of precautions do you need to take when you're camping in the backcountry in Tasmania?
There's not much that will interfere with you while you're camping, mainly a possum. And he's only after food.
Yeah. When you shake out your boots, is there a bunch of insects, you know, climbing out and things that bite and sting?
Mosquitoes and sand flies and all those sort of things will always attack you. But that's pretty normal anywhere you go.
Yeah, that is a true story. You won't experience that when you travel the U.S., so there's no mosquitoes at all, right, Louise?
No mosquitoes at all. So I have a question for you, Jason. Say Sean and I were to come to Tasmania, and maybe we wanted to ride for 3 or 4 days. What could we expect from that? Where would you take us, and what would we see?
Oh, we could start. It depends on the riding you want to do. If you want to motel it or camp, I suggest motel it if you're going to come over for a holiday. Pick up a bike and head off from Devonport. And depending on which way the weather's going, I'd take you west coast right down the Western Explorer, down through Kruna, across the barge. There's a barge that takes you across the river. Explore right down through there, all the nice gravel roads. It's white silica sand roads. It's not something that people ride on very often. It's very fast, slippery, and exciting, narrow. Then through Queenstown, I take you up 99 Bends, which is 99 Bends, windy roads, all tar. Take you up over Marlborough Highway, up over to the Great Lakes, down through there, and probably zigzag down from Bothwell. I'm just opening up with it. So many options I can give you here. And you can zigzag back over to the East Coast from there. And East Coast is different, totally different to the West Coast, as far as there's so many off the side of the highway, just get away from the highway. There's so many gravel roads that just go through farmland, and just picture two-lane single track with grass going through cattle grids and the sheep either side, and it's just hills of green grass either side. It's just picturesque. And all the way up to the East Coast and go right up into the Northeast.
Yeah.
So you'd be before really full days.
Yeah.
And then back to Devonport. And yeah, you'd be gobsmacked at the change of scenery, change of road textures, change of road colour. Just from one side of the state to the other is so different. That's what I love about Tasmania.
So Louise and I think like many of our listeners, there are two things that we really like to do when we go somewhere new, which is see the sights and eat the food.
Yes.
And
eat the food, definitely.
So what kind of foods do we have to try in Tasmania?
The best part about Tasmania in the last 10 years is the tourist side of Tasmania has really grown. Mm. There's so many little eateries, so many little coffee shops and places which we love to find. Mm. With the style of riding we're doing these days, that's what we go for. Right. We rode 640 Ks last Monday, or Monday 3 weeks ago, sorry. Mm. 640 Ks just for a hot roast pork pulled pork roll. That was the end game for the ride.
That is hardcore.
More than half of that was gravel for the day.
So. Yeah. Wow.
Yes. Gravel roads. Yeah. But that's coming to Tasmania for food is a must.
Yeah.
Seafood on the East Coast is amazing.
So 640 kilometers, that's about 400 miles.
Well, if it's a good roll, then it makes sense that you would go that far. I mean, I would ride that far for that. I mean, there would have to be beer too, but I would ride that far.
We've been known to ride pretty far for good food.
Yeah, that's part of it. The saying is give a man a fish, you'll eat for a day. Give a man a motorcycle, he'll ride 400 kilometers for a fleet of fish.
So what is the generally, do you suppose, is the riding season in Tasmania?
Surprisingly enough, most of us around here are pretty hardcore and we'll ride all year round.
Yeah.
Even in the colder months, it generally doesn't get that cold. I headed off, the last ride was -1 degree centigrade.
Whoa.
Head off with the heater grips on and the layers on, and it warms up to about 13 degrees or 10 degrees this time of the year. That's generally the ride, but summertime, it's nice. You just put the t-shirt and the summer jacket on and ride in jeans and off you go. But generally most of us around here will ride all year round.
Wow. But if we show up there and we want to have the best experience at the best time of year, what do you suppose is the window?
February, March is the best time of the year in Tasmania. Huh. It's more stable, less wind, less rain, and get the milder temperatures.
And what range of temperatures are you really realistically getting? I don't know what the seasons are like and how harsh they are.
Winter time here at the moment's averaging from like 0 to 10 to 13 degrees at the moment. Summertime, it'll start at 10 and be up to 25 to 30 degrees sometimes. Yeah, that's typical of winter, summertime.
That's actually not bad, I think. Of course, Celsius to me always sounds really manageable. Once I hear it converted to Fahrenheit, I might cringe.
Those are pretty reasonable temperatures, Sean. You need to understand, Jason, Sean is very delicate and lives on the coast of California. So he has a very small margin of temperatures that he likes to ride in. But all those temperatures, those are completely reasonable.
So tell me about the community that you ride with. You said the GS Riders of Tasmania, is that what it's called?
Tasmania Adventure Riders Hub is a Facebook page that is pretty active. There's quite a few others as well, but there's quite a few rides that get organized on that on a regular basis, which is great. I tend to ride with just a few these days, just with the GS, a few group of GSs, and we find pleasure in just doing our big long rides that we're enjoying at the moment. But the diverse of the group that on Facebook are awesome.
Yeah.
And they're very accommodating. Yeah. Very accommodating. So I did a letter ride here a little while ago. I was on my GS and a lot of them were on 250s.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, man, that big thing gets going when it's up and going.
Louise is not much more than a meter and a half, Louise, and to see her ride up on a 1250, people go, oh, wow, that's a big bike, and it can be done even with a small person.
Well, our group sort of people say, oh, why are you riding such a big bike? I said, until you ride one, you don't know.
Yeah, that's a true story.
You really need to ride one.
Yeah.
I was absolutely gobsmacked at the balance and the nimbleness of a big bike in the tight stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you can get up and boogie on the highway a lot and be really comfortable. Yeah. That's what I love about it.
Have you ridden a 1250 yet?
No, I haven't ridden a new 1250.
Don't do it.
I've been off Don't do it.
It'll complicate your wallet.
One.
And that's saying nothing about the new 1300.
I've been dreaming of the new GS rally.
Yeah.
Quite often spend time drooling over that on social media. Yeah.
That is the bike that I am riding at the moment. And it is the GS Trophy is the one I'm riding at the moment. And
yeah, that's what I'd like to have. Yeah.
It's really yummy. But, you describe those asphalt roads and those twisties and that bike especially, it just chews that stuff up. It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what we love about our old girls. Like my bike's 2012, but you feel so comfortable on it. It's just, like you say, it chews up the asphalt, chews up the gravel, do a 600-plus K ride for the day and you're fresh. You're not tired.
Yeah. That's the way of it.
It's great.
So when we're ready to go that way, we got to call you first, right? And figure out where to get a hook up on a bike and where to meet you. Yeah,
definitely.
That's good stuff.
I'll take some time off and take you for a look around Tassie.
That sounds amazing. Are there companies there that rent adventure motorcycles?
There's a couple. There's Southern Tasmania. There's rental companies that rent adventure bikes and all sorts of varieties,
including BMW. I hope.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Ah, that's good stuff. That's the way it's got to be. I got an adventure ride in Tasmania, and it's got to be on a BMW. I think Louise is going to nod vigorously at that, too.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am going to. And, Jason, when you decide to come to the States, we have you covered in that.
Awesome.
The things that you're going to see going from one coast to the other in the U.S. will be pretty great. I think you'll love it.
Awesome.
Now you've posted some great photos from your rides, and I'm sure people are going to want to take a look at them because, I think most people haven't seen Tasmania the way you get to see it. Certainly, what's the best way to find you and follow you online?
Go onto Instagram, Windy's Adventures.
Windy's Adventures. Okay, I believe that's where I saw your photos, and they're so good.
Yeah, they go right back to pre-Tiger. So
yeah. Fantastic.
The Tiger 800. I had, so that if you go back way back in the history, there's a lot of great photos there. I usually put photos of the routes up as well of what I've done, and I sometimes just spend all night just looking at my own feed, looking at some of the history I've done. Like it really amazes me some of the territory we've covered over the years and the places we've been. And what I love is you're riding down a road and you go, oh, I wonder what's up there.
Yeah.
You go, why haven't we gone this way before? After all this time, we're still finding new stuff and new roads, and that's now a new way to go. And it's just, that's amazing. That's what gobsmacks me about Tasmania. You'll all still find new roads that you haven't ridden.
Yeah.
And you just go, man, this is sweet. We've got to keep this a secret. This is awesome. We'll just bring it out of the box when we need to.
I tend to, when I get to interview new people, a lot of times they're from other parts of the world and they use phrasing that I don't hear very often. And then I pick it up for a while. So Louise, you're going to hear me say gobsmacked quite a bit in the near future, because that is just such an awesome phrase that we just don't use in the U.S. enough.
That's true. That is not a phrase that we use a whole lot here, but this is good. And I will know who to blame for that. Thanks, Jason. So I have to say, Sean and I have both traveled all over the world and we've ridden motorcycles all over the world. And the U.S. is huge. It's almost 4 million square miles. It's massive. There's a lot to see. But one of the things I love about riding all over the world and in all the different places is that every time I've gone somewhere else, I see something new. And I'm absolutely looking forward to going to Tasmania and saying, okay, what is new and what is going to make me go, wow?
I can definitely show you things that will make you go, wow, in Tasmania. There's so much scenery and diverse scenery. It's just totally different from one end to the other.
And there's wallabies.
Well, there's wallabies.
Yeah. I've never seen a wallaby in person before.
You'll have to Google that or I'll send you a picture.
You have to understand, we're very excited about things like wallabies and your possums, which are very different from our possums. These are things that make us really excited.
Jason, it's really good talking to you, man. I think we'll get our way out there sometime in the near future, hopefully. But in the meantime, thanks for sharing your adventures with us.
No, welcome to talk to you anytime again in the future.
I love it. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
We very much hope you have enjoyed this episode. We want to hear from you, so please rate, comment, and share your thoughts about this podcast. We have many more episodes on the way, so please subscribe, follow along, and share your requests for future episodes of the BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast.